Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Making more, spending less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. On average, our paychecks were a little fatter last month. The Commerce Department says personal incomes climbed 0.5%. That's twice as much as expected. But personal spending was up only a tenth in February, the worst showing since September 2006. We've seen three straight months of sluggish spending. Wall Street already knows the economy is in trouble, so it's not too worried this morning. So far, some small gains. The Dow is up 25 points to 13,327. The NASDAQ has gained 12, and the S&P 500 is up 3 points. In Asia today, stocks finished 2 to 3% higher, and European shares are down a fraction so far. The price of rice jumped 30% yesterday to a record high. That has some people worried about unrest in Asia. Rice is obviously a staple there for 2.5 billion people. In this country, grain prices are soaring. Corn is at a record. Wheat and soybeans are almost there. So why is the government still subsidizing farmers? Congress takes up the farm bill next week. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
For the first time in years, Congress had toyed with cutting subsidies. Reform advocates ran TV ads like this one from Oxfam, arguing U.S. subsidies cut into the incomes of poor farmers in other countries.
Subsidies are hurting the family farm worldwide.
But subsidy opponents are admitting defeat. They were no match for the farm lobby. Dan Griswold of the Cato Institute says right now farmers making up to $2.5 million are raking in subsidies.
Just from a simple economic justice point of view, it's very troubling.
Farmers say they need subsidies to get them through lean years, but they have agreed to some reforms, like eliminating payments for those making more than $1 million. Darren Kopik is CEO for the National Association of Wheat Growers.
I think it's something that our board has looked at and said, something's coming, let's see what we can find that's reasonable and acceptable.
The House and Senate are expected to finalize a new farm bill soon. The current one expires April 18th. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Toyota's Prius is selling so well, the company wants to make twice as many. There are reports today that Toyota will try to produce 450,000 Priuses by next year. Last year, the carmaker put out 280,000. A conservation group wants cities around the world to turn off their lights for an hour this weekend. Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
The hour-long event starts at 8 p.m. local time tomorrow. If all goes according to plan, skylines in cities from Chicago to Dubai won't shine as brightly. The World Wildlife Fund pulled this off in Australia last year and will now try expanding it around the world. Spokesman Dan Foreman.
It's about doing small things because in mass, if everyone was to do these small things, they add up to big changes.
Still, Earth Hour has plenty of skeptics. Some called last year's event a publicity stunt that inspired little long-term change. Joe Loper at the Alliance to Save Energy says turning out the lights for an hour could raise environmental awareness, but it represents just a small percentage of household electricity use.
Refrigerators are consuming electricity. There are a lot of what we call plug loads, computers, televisions, dishwashers, that sort of thing.
A number of major corporations are helping to sponsor tomorrow's event, including McDonald's. Nothing as drastic as Big Macs by candlelight, but the fast food chain did promise to turn off the golden arches at nearly 500 outlets. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. listening to the Morning Report for Friday, March 28th on Marketplace.org. The country's biggest tobacco company is splitting up today. Altria will spin off Philip Morris International into a separate company. That's so it can pursue smokers in other countries, unfettered by the U.S. market. Ashley Milne-Tite has our story.
Cigarette smoking drops by 2-3% each year in the U.S. as prices go up and more people quit. Abroad, it's a different matter. Many Europeans still light up despite increasing bans on smoking in public places. Greg Warren is an analyst with Morningstar. He says the real growth opportunity for Philip Morris International comes from further afield, countries like Indonesia, India, and of course, China.
It's a big untapped market. You look at it from the outside, there's 350 million smokers in China, most of which are male. And, you know, the tobacco companies are salivating because they're like, we got to get in there.
He says penetrating a market like China's means doing deals with state tobacco companies. In other countries, it can mean buying up popular local brands. Altria isn't giving up on the U.S. market entirely. It still keeps Philip Morris's domestic operation. But Warren says it's the international business that has a glowing future. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
First, there was the problem with laptop batteries catching fire. Then this month, an entire laptop battery factory went up in flames. The fire at LG Chemical Plant in South Korea could cause a laptop battery shortage around the world. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
The LG battery shortage is expected to affect laptop supplies and prices for the next several months, but it will hit the lower end of the market especially hard, says tech writer Om Malik.
I don't think it impacts the higher-end laptops because those guys are buying stuff from some of the higher-end battery makers like Sony and Panasonic.
There are lots of battery makers, but demand is higher than ever, and not just for computer batteries. A possible shortage could have far-reaching consequences, says tech consultant Tim Beharin.
Those kind of batteries are being used, you know, in a lot of hybrids. And the crossover of incredible demand all of a sudden for this type of battery technology has taken its toll.
HP and Dell are reportedly bracing for shortages. Supplies aren't likely to get back to normal until the summer. Dell has already announced higher prices for replacement battery packs. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Yesterday, we talked about adjustable-rate mortgages as part of our series Housing Madness. I asked for your stories about ARMs. We got quite a few emails. One of them came from retired real estate broker Ann Himes of Maryland. She made the point that adjustable-rate mortgages aren't the problem here.
I'm very much in favor of them. If, in fact, you understand the risk and you can deal with that risk and you're willing to take the consequences, then I think it's a very legitimate instrument.
In fact, Himes recently got an adjustable rate mortgage by choice because she couldn't afford a fixed rate deal on the home she wanted.
And I took a loan that I would never have recommended to a client of mine. It was about 80% of my income.
Why did you do that? Why did you feel you could take that risk?
I think because I was able to cut back on so many other things in my life that I could therefore up the ratio a little bit, quite a little bit, on the housing expense. But to me, this whole financial crisis is about people who don't have the information available to make that choice.
Well, from your background as a real estate broker, how could we change the situation?
Boy, I've given that a lot of thought, especially with this bailout of such a huge mega bank. Because to me, the people who gambled and speculated, I don't have sympathy for. But the others were the vulnerable, the people who didn't have information, who signed things they didn't understand, and really were victims of people in my industry, for starts, the realtors, and people who wanted to make a loan to get a commission. There needs to be a lot more thought given to regulation of loans. You know, it's unconscionable that people signed on to these because they were so hopeful of being homeowners. They signed on to mortgages that they were doomed the day they signed their names.
Ann Himes from St. Michael's, Maryland. Thanks for writing in.
Thanks for your call. Bye.
This weekend, the Open Skies Agreement takes effect. It's supposed to open up the options for flying between American cities and European ones. London's Heathrow Airport even opened a new terminal yesterday, just in time for this. Terminal 5 has been called the answer to Heathrow's awful delays. But so far, it's been nothing short of a nightmare. Some passengers spent the night at the gigantic new terminal. Planes took off with no luggage on board. Dozens of flights were canceled today. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, is with us. Stephen, what in the world happened?
Everything went wrong. The whole baggage handling system collapsed. A lot of the lifts in the new building didn't work. The computer system operating the departure and arrival boards crashed and ended up showing flights had departed when they were still sitting on the tarmac. What this boils down to, I think, you know, bearing in mind that it's taken 19 years of planning to produce this chaos, what this boils down to is incompetence.
But the idea was to have this terminal open just as the Open Skies Agreement goes into effect. Why was that?
The idea is that Heathrow is probably going to be more affected than most other airports by this agreement. It was hoped this would take the pressure off the other terminals. This would improve the Heathrow experience. Terminal 5, it seems, is going to have precisely the opposite effect, and many Americans may decide to fly elsewhere.
So for the average passenger, what can we expect to see under this new Open Skies Agreement?
What Open Skies will mean is that there'll be more carriers offering more flights on a wider range of routes between the US and Europe. A lot more competition and possibly cheaper fares, although with oil at $100 plus a barrel, don't expect fares to be too cheap.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical about that. All right, Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
In light of the problems at Heathrow, we'll close with an old Monty Python song. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great weekend.
I'm so worried about what's happening today, you know. And I'm worried about the baggage retrieval system they've got at Heathrow. I'm so worried about my hair falling out and the state of the world today. And I'm so worried about the baggage retrieval system they've got at Heathrow.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.